Good evening, everyone. Please take your seats. We're ready to start. Good evening. I'd like to thank you all for coming out tonight. My name is Alfreda Williams. I am the chair of the Community Services Committee. I want to thank you for coming to this hearing, the purpose of which is to hear your views on the child care budget cuts that have been instituted by County Executive Rob Astorino. I'm going to introduce the members of the committee, and if they may have brief statements to make, and after which we will open it up to the audience, and everyone will have 2 minutes to speak. And if you have any written comments that you want to turn in, the young lady over here on the side at the table will receive your comments for distribution to the committee members and to the Board of Legislators at large. All right. To my left, is County Legislator Lyndon Williams. To my right is our chair of the Board of Legislators, Legislator Ken Jenkins. And to his right is Legislator William Burton. And Mr. Burton represents the Ossining Briarcliff Manor area and part of Yorktown Heights, is that correct?
Part of Cortland.
Mr. Jenkins, of course, represents the largest city in the county, Yonkers. And Mr. Williams represents the city of Mount Vernon. So as you can see, and of course I represent the town of Greenberg, the village of Sleepy Hollow, and Tarrytown, and Elmsford, and a little portion of White Plains. So you can see that we have represented here this evening the southern part of the county, the northern part of the county, and the center of the county. So we're well represented. As I said, there'll be 2 minutes. Each one of you will be allowed, anyone who signed up to speak will be allowed 2 minutes. If you haven't signed up, there's a table outside, and they will take your name and information and put it on a card so you can speak. Okay. I think we have another. Oh, here we are.
Sorry.
We've been joined by Judith Myers, who is a county legislator from the town of Rye.
The
city of Rye and the town of Mamaroneck. In addition to that, I think we have County Legislator Sheila Marcotte. Is she here?
She's
not a member of the committee, but she is a member of the Board of Legislators. So
she just walked down the hall.
Oh, okay.
Anyway. Certainly, we have representation here from the County Executive's Office.
And we have representation from the County Executive's Office as well. So, as I say, we are well represented here.
Good.
Oh. Okay. In addition to that, we have some representatives from various child care organizations. We have Lee Marie Cabrera, the Director of Data Analysis from Westchester Children's Association. We have Liz Wagner on behalf of Chuck Lesnick from the city, who is the President of the Yonkers City Council. We have Cora Greenberg, who is the Director of the Westchester Children's Association. And we have Virginia Noriega, who is a district representative for Congresswoman Nita Lowy. And is anyone else here who hasn't had a chance to sign up who represents an elected official? Yes?
Sonia Brown.
Oh, yes, Sonia. Okay. And Sonia Brown, who is a councilwoman from the town of Greenberg. And I don't believe there's anyone else here. Okay. I know that you have come here to protest the child care budget cuts. And I think you know, or if you don't, that we are talking about budget cuts in two areas. The Title 20 program, which provides assistance to families in need of child care who are working families earning between $30,000-$35,000 a year and $55,000 a year. The initial cut was 15%. An additional 10% was cut with less than a month's warning notice. So this drastically affects people's ability to budget, to maintain their normal expenses, and may force many parents back on public assistance, because with this increase, we're talking about approximately $80 to $100 a month additional child care costs. In addition to the Title 20 cuts, there have been cuts. The Child Care Scholarship Program has been completely eliminated. This program is a program that was instituted by the County Board of Legislators a few years back. And the legality of the county executive cutting these funds is very, very questionable. So this is part of the reason that you're here tonight, hopefully. There are plenty of seats up front here. Please don't stand in the back. You can have a seat and be comfortable. We have Kathy Hallis here. Kathy represents the Child Care Council of Westchester. I'm going to call on speakers from the committee now. Does anyone have any comments that you'd like to make before we start?
Yes.
Mr. Burton. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right, Mr. Burton, you go ahead, and then Ms. Myers.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The purpose that we're here tonight for is a worthy one and an important one. Nobody believes that children are not our future. Many of us believe that the way children learn and the way children grow in the first 5 years are what make all the difference in how they finish their education, whether they go to college, and how well they do in life. And if we don't provide the educational and the child care opportunities for all our children, then we're doing ourselves and the future a disservice. I am really glad to see so many people who were at the Ossining rally that we held 2 weeks ago here again tonight. We heard your voices then, and we're going to hear your voices now. So please speak up, speak loudly, and tell us what you think. Thank you.
Ms. Myers?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. A number of years ago, I worked very closely with Kathy Hallis in the audience, because Westchester County had a big problem. The problem is that Westchester County is a very expensive place to live in, and we have very high cost of services here in this county, including the cost of daycare and child care. Working with Kathy Hallis, and this was probably 4 years ago, we came up with a solution that was to provide families who just missed the cutoff with DSS for daycare, child care funding, to provide them with just a little bit of a push in terms of a subsidy, just a little bit, to get them over the hump so that they could have their children in high quality child care during the day, so that they could work productively and continue to live in high-priced Westchester County. And this became known as the Westchester County Child Care Scholarship. And it was a huge success. We were able to meet the needs of more than 1,000 families, or 1,000 kids, and keep them in child care, in high quality child care, so that they didn't have to either be plunked down in front of a TV set somewhere with a bunch of other kids and a sitter of some sort, or that their mom didn't have to quit work to stay home because they just couldn't afford that extra $1,000 to keep them in what at that time was costing $12,000 a year. To cut this now, and granted, we do have difficult economic times. There is no denying that. There is no denying that we're all tightening our belts. But to tighten our belts for a mere $1.5 million on a $1.7 billion budget seems to me, rather absurd, especially because you are again going to be forcing parents not to work. And then the costs become sky high. Plus, going along with what Legislator Burton said, all of the studies, and there's one that's been released just this week, show that the importance of kindergarten is far greater, the importance of preschool and doing well in kindergarten is far greater than anyone had ever realized. And to have kids go straight into kindergarten without any kind of child care, without any kind of preschool, is really doing them a disservice. And I think we can, in a county like this, we can afford $1.5 million and we'll find the savings elsewhere.
Let me first let me thank all of you for coming out this evening. I think it's so important that you come out because we're here for a good reason, and that's children. Budget decisions are made, and they're made on various different choices that we make with respect to policies that this county has established. Westchester has been a progressive county because they have not abandoned values such as those that we're talking about here tonight, and the values of our children, and particularly where you're providing a service that otherwise, if it's not there, there are parents who would not be able to work, or they would end up having to place their children in unregulated and dangerous conditions of unregulated child care providers. Those are choices that we should not be making lightly in terms of as a county. Those are choices that you never want to make. And if you have to make choices around making decisions on cuts, those are the last areas you want to get to. So it's important for you to come out because we're talking about, and there has been a lot of misrepresentation about the child care in the press, and to some extent, misrepresentations about what we're asking to be restored. This is not a luxury. This is a necessity. The child care funding that is received by the families here are provided because they need it, not because it is something that they don't need, that this is an extra. And that's been the spin that's been placed on a lot of our efforts to try to remedy these situations. There's been talk about the county spending $32 million and will continue to spend $32 million on child care. That is just not true because a lot of the funding that's being referred to is not county tax dollar funding, it's other sources. And those other sources are matched by the commitment of the county. If we're not involved in providing some of this, then the other partners like the state will not be involved in partnering with us. So it is extremely important to understand that cuts that might only be county budget-based has reverberations beyond the county of Westchester, and the impact on families are devastating because they not only lose what the county provides, but also they become ineligible for what might be otherwise be eligible from the state as well as federal programs. One other point I wanted to make. When we talked about the scholarship and Title 20, there is one of the programs that are being cut is to freeze the admissions of new applicants into the program. That assumes that, first of all, that no one else is going to be poor or eligible after July 1st. And that, you know, is not real. What will happen with those families who want to work? These are not families, and it's easy for politicians to tend to step up and demonize residents who are trying to get benefits. But these are not people who are looking for just a mere handout. These are residents, and I know you know, because all of you who are impacted by it, you want to work. You're just asking this county for a little help in hand to enable you to work. And when you're able to work, you're able to pay back into the system, and that system benefits the entire Westchester County.
So
So I just want to say, in closing in my comments, is do not be ashamed, do not be afraid, and do not bend from standing up for these benefits, for these subsidies for your children, because it is the right thing to do. Thank you.
Chairman Jenkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, first I want to say that thank you to you, Madam Chair, from the Community Services Committee and the members of the Community Service Committee that have come out this evening to listen and hear from you. You get to hear a lot from us during the various things that we do. But I just want to take a minute just to say one thing. I got to echo the points that the Vice Chairman of the Board, Lyndon Williams, just made as far as some of the mischaracterizations of the things that are going on. The reality is that we know we're in a difficult budget situation, but the recognition today from everyone is that we are in a balanced budget in 2010. And what we have challenged the county executive from time and time to say is that, you know what, let's have the budget fight for 2011 after you present your budget. Let's wait until that particular point in time to make the adjustments. Because this board and many of the members that are sitting here made significant adjustments in the budget this year to get to the numbers that we had. We made the decisions and we analyzed them. And, you know, I know that some people think that we're harsh on language from time to time, but I like to use the words of the county attorney. And the county attorney has stated in writing, in an opinion, that the county executive does not have the authority to unilaterally cut services without the approval of the board. It's just that simple. It's the law. What we pass is called a budget act. It is the law. If you don't follow the law, we just said you need to follow the law. We asked the county attorney to make sure the county executive followed the law. He said we should try to talk through it. So we did that. We did that from March. And at a certain point in time, Pretty Please just doesn't get it. And when your families and the children that you are trying to help go out to work, make sure that you're contributing to the well-being of Westchester County, spending money in the stores, but also making sure your children are safe and secure, and making sure that we have viable businesses that are licensed and authorized daycare. Because Legislator Myers pointed out there was a problem with that when we didn't have that happen. So again, you know, I'm looking forward to hearing your comments tonight. We all are. We are going to make sure, and the county executives folks are recording this so they get it all exactly right. We certainly would have given them a copy, but they are here this evening. And what you should do is speak clearly and let the county executive know the level of impact wherever you are in Westchester County. Because for some strange reason, that there's a perception that this only impacts certain communities. And we heard from people throughout the year so far, everywhere in Westchester County is impacted by this. Everyone is in dire straits and in tough economic conditions, and they need the county to do its job. And government is not a business. It is not run like a business. And we are the co-equal branch of the government. We are all elected officials up here. We represent individual districts. So the county executive certainly has a right to suggest and recommend things as the charter says he has to do. But it's the Board of Legislators at the end that makes that decision with the budget. So again, you'll maybe make sure to comment again. Let's have that budget fight. And when it comes down, whether it's in October or November, November 15th is the day the county executive's budget is due. And whatever numbers they are then, let's fight about that then. But right now, there is money that we appropriated in the budget for child care. Let's get it used. And let's get the folks having the appropriate child care and getting back to work. Thank you.
We're going to start with our speakers now. Our first speaker will be Bishop Wilbur Preston from Christ Temple Church in Greenburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good evening, neighbors and friends. I didn't know I was going to be the first one, but since I am, I will take that opportunity graciously I stand before you tonight to voice the opinion, to make a sounding voice for those that I feel that stand to lose the most. And those are the people that are indigent and cannot afford any more financial obligations on their budgets. Mr. Burton has made one of the points that I wanted to make, and that is that with child care is such a important part of a child's life from the age of 0 to 5. It's been statistically proven more than one time that at that age, the child is more impressionable than at any other age in their life. And if we don't catch them then with the child care providers that provide not only nurturing of their physical body, but nurturing of their mind. Every child care, whether it's qualified, whether it's certified, whether it's dangerous, it has an impact. But we cannot afford to continue to cut these kind of programs that are certified, and parents cannot afford to go and work. And at the risk of having more uncertified programs crop up across town, because parents are at their wits' end, they're losing their homes, they're walking away from their properties, they're doing everything possible to stay within the county of Westchester. But if cuts continue to impact their budget, then they have to walk away. If this is illegal, then we would like to see, as the community, the full impugnment of the law on Astorino. And if it's not impugned on him, then we will have to vote and make sure that he's not in office at the next term.
Thank you. Reverend Stephen Holton. Reverend Stephen Holton.
Thank you. There are two groups of leaders in our community, and each group is trying to make an impact and waiting to make an impact on our kids. You've got the leaders who care about the kids and the community and have the skills to give them a good start in life. And you have the leaders from the criminal aspect of the community who are also waiting for our kids in order to give them a start in a different direction. This bill, this money, is to support the leaders who will make our kids into leaders and innovators in business and in our community. Without this bill, our kids risk taking the wrong road and becoming the wrong kind of leader, and that will have an impact on everybody in this county, no matter where they live. Great Republican Abraham Lincoln spoke about making sure that government by the people, of the people, and for the people would not perish from this earth. And as you all decide how to direct our tax money, I would suggest you direct it towards those expenses, which is directly for the people as opposed to for business or for corporation, which might be good, but is at best indirect, especially towards these youngest, most impressionable of people. And if we can make an impact on that then now, they will be our future leaders both here and in business. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilwoman Brown, Sonia Brown.
My eyes affected, so sorry about that.
That's okay.
But the United States of America has the highest total documented prisons and jail population in the world. We are known as the world's leading jailer. We far exceed Russia, South Africa, Europe, Canada, Australia, and Japan. In 2008, over 7.3 million people were on probation, in jail, or in prison, or on parole at year end. That is one in every 31 adults. According to December 2009 report, there were over 92,000 held in juvenile facilities. Jailing one criminal costs the taxpayers as much as $140,000 a year, reports say today. Prisons cost the public purse about 6 times more than sending a child to college. research shows that prison is failing us, and early childhood is where we are winning the war and helping our children with early childhood. Let's look at the economic impacts due to quality early education. Increased tax revenues, decreased welfare, reduced expenditures for health and other services, lower criminal justice services. I am a product of the Lois Bronze Children's Center, one of the first to attend that beautiful center that you see standing today. My oldest daughter, who is 19 years old, is beginning her second year at Howard University. Child care subsidy, and I am not ashamed, child care subsidies has helped me and my family as a single mom. All I have to pay $200 a week for many years, from the age of 3 months to my daughter, she left child care. She was standing over the teachers, 12 years old, time to go. But it was $200 a week that I had to pay with child care subsidies. That extra boost that I got from the subsidies helped me and my family to do other things. So I say to you, County Executive Robert Astorino, and I thought he would be here today, cutting child care funding is a huge mistake. If we don't pay and invest our children now, based on the facts I have presented today, we will pay at a much greater cost later. I would rather see tax dollars go more towards education and not incarceration. I beg you, and I ask you, please do not support child care costs. We do not support child care costs. We do not support child care costs.
Thank you. Thank you. Our next speaker is Anna Stern.
That is an incredibly hard act to follow. That was so eloquently put. I am speaking, I am on the Dobsbury Board of Education, and I'm going to speak first as a school board member and say the money that is saved now will be spent later when kids are not prepared for kindergarten, when they don't have quality pre-K. It really shows up in the amount of attention they need in the classrooms. When they have that pre-K experience, especially a quality one, the kindergarten classroom will run like a top. And the other thing that I want to point out is quality pre-K, you will often pick up special needs, the need for special services early on that might not be found until, much later. Early intervention is another thing that pre-K affords us. And now, speaking as a nurse, I'll just briefly say the physical, emotional, social, cognitive development at that age is so important. Sitting in front of a television for those few years is such a waste when they can have quality daycare, quality childcare, and come to kindergarten ready to roll. And I also want to point out, taking this subsidy away from people, this is during a year or two, but not many people are getting pay increases. Mm-hmm. There are not many people who have gotten raises in the past year or two, and now to ask them to pay even more is a burden. The last thing I'll say, as a nurse I train and supervise home health aides. When they don't have child care, they can't go to work, and they end up having to stay home. So. And that's a population, they might not have family, they don't have the extra money to pay somebody. They need that child care. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Amy Siniscalchi.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee. How are you? My name is Amy Siniscalchi. I'm the director of programs at My Sister's Place, which is a full-service domestic violence nonprofit in Westchester, which helps with counseling and shelter and legal services for victims and their children. I'm going to read a story of Maria, who is actually a client of my sister's place. Couldn't be here tonight because she had to go from Portchester to Yonkers to pick up her children, go home and put them to bed. So, Maria says, when I had my first child, I was worried about not being able to pay for child care. I remember having to leave my son with family members, friends, neighbors, or having to take the day off from work because I didn't have anyone to watch him. I learned about the Child Care Council of Westchester through an acquaintance. Without hesitation, I enrolled my son in a daycare center and received child care subsidy within a few weeks. When I had my second child, I was at ease and knew what I had to do. I had peace of mind. I am able to work a full-time job and pay for child care for both my kids. Taking away this kind of resource from me will be a setback. I can't afford to pay full-time daycare and an after-school program. I would have to quit my job, get on public assistance, and stay home with the kids. I'll be back to square one. Maria is a survivor of domestic violence who happens to work at a local nonprofit organization in Westchester. She works to pay her rent, feed herself and her children, and pay the balance of her child care costs. She, like so many single mothers, lives paycheck to paycheck down to the penny. Cutting her child care subsidy tips that fragile balance she has achieved and, in her own words, would send her back onto public assistance and back to square one. She would likely lose her housing and need shelter or subsidized housing, food stamps, and Medicaid. Decisions to cut this type of assistance to victims and to other low-income families throughout the county will backfire like this and lead to the need for additional public benefits. Each day, the victims my sister's place and our partner agencies work with have to make these kinds of choices, supporting themselves, depending entirely on public assistance, or depending on their abusers. In a research study funded by the U.S. Department of Justice, 29% of women entering domestic violence shelters cited child care as a major need, which increased to 50% as the women were getting ready to exit shelter and become self-sufficient. The child care subsidies and scholarships our clients receive are a crucial factor in their ability to break free and stay free from financial dependence on their abuser. Trying to balance the budget on the backs of these women and families is the wrong choice. It can even lead to increased danger, sending women who have come forward looking for a way out back into their domestic war zones. We urge the county executive to reconsider these actions and allow moms like Maria to continue being the primary support for her family. Thank you.
Ms. Noriega from... And the young lady who is representing Chuck Resnick from the city of Yonkers, Liz Wallner, is that your last name?
Liz Wallner.
Thank you.
I'm saddened to hear Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino's proposal to eliminate important funding for necessary child care programs in our county. While I am a proponent of restructuring government to eliminate redundant services and wasteful spending, I would strongly suggest that the county executive act more with a scalpel than with an axe when he proposes funding cuts for critical programs that so many of our residents have come to utilize in order to make it through these hard economic times. Some have said that the proposed $1.5 million cut to childcare is but a tiny portion of the county's total budget. However, this funding is absolutely crucial for working families. An immediate impact of the cut would automatically double the co-payment of low-income families. As a result, one Yonkers-based child care center to be affected, Queen's Daughter, has already seen enrollment drop by at least one-third. Child care not only allows for parents to work, but it is tremendously important in developing children's socialization and language skills. This cut would further disadvantage those children from working poor families as they will enter kindergarten less prepared than their peers. Westchester County needs to make children and education a priority for all families. If these cuts are allowed to go through, the loss of program funding would force families to make impossible decisions between keeping their jobs or finding affordable child care. When county scholarships were cut in May, one single mother who will share her story this evening had to send her four-year-old child to relatives in Jamaica for 4 months because she could not afford to keep the child in daycare during the summer. Moreover, children receive nutritional meals at daycare that they may not be able to receive at home. And as a further result of these proposed cuts, the small business owners and employees of child care centers will suffer financial loss and be forced to lay off staff, placing more individuals on unemployment. Surely there is a better way to reduce county expenses before resorting to slashing away at the Westchester Child Care Scholarship Program. I urge the county executive to work with the Board of Legislators to find the funds to restore this vital programming for our children.
Thank you. Cora Greenberg.
Hi, I'm Cora Greenberg, the Executive Director of the Westchester Children's Association. I really want to thank the committee and the board for holding this public hearing. We know that there are so many people who couldn't even get here tonight, but by allowing this opportunity for family members, for business owners, for board members, and other people in the community, members of the clergy who get this problem to come and speak about it, you have performed a tremendous public service, and we want to thank you for that. I don't want to just repeat what other people have said, but I do want to say that we're here tonight to talk about child care, but this is kind of the tip of the iceberg, that there are many things that the county spends its precious tax dollars on that have tremendous impact on children and families beyond child care. So if we let this go without answering this cut, there will only be more and more cuts. I too understand that taxes are too high. We understand that people are hurting. But tax, I always say this, you've heard me before, is not a four-letter word. Mm-hmm. Taxes are the way that we as a community pay for the things that we think are important. And what could be more important than the well-being of children, youth, and families? There is nothing more important. So we urge you to keep up the fight, and we urge the county executive and his administration to use this budget, use these cuts as a way to express our values that we hope everybody shares, because these are the values. Children matter a lot. What we spend money on matters a lot, and we don't want to shoot ourselves in the foot by cutting the very programs that allow kids to grow up strong and healthy, allow their parents to work, allow them to stay out of trouble. These are the things that keep Westchester a great place to live. Why would we be cutting the very programs that are the hallmark of how far we have come for kids? So thank you, and thank everybody for being here.
If anyone who wants to speak has not had an opportunity, we have staff people coming around with cards, so please sign up and you can certainly come forward and speak. Our next speaker is Vinoy Nasheed Johnson. Jackson, I'm sorry. Is Jackson? Wendy, I'm sorry. Wendy Nasheed Johnson. I need glasses, right? Wendy. I said Vinoy. It looked like an old to me. Wendy. Hi.
Good evening, everyone. I just want to talk today.
The mic is not on.
The mic is on. There you go.
Yes. Okay.
I have a couple cards that say means translation. So when you call their names, just ask for Daisy.
Okay.
And Daisy's going to translate.
There's many providers here today that I know have worked in the field for 10, 20, 25, even 30 years. We work hard at what we do. We dedicate our lives to children and families. And we give up our time. Not for the money, because we're not paid accordingly. But what I'd like to say to County Exec Astorino is we are business people in the county of Westchester. We pay taxes, we're legal child care providers, and we give back to this community. We give back, we hire staff, we help our parents, and when we spend our money in Westchester County. How dare he assume that we are in this for the money, because we're not. We're dedicated to this purpose and we give back every time we spend. So we would like him to know that we are small business professional people in this field. We run qualified programs. We We are educating children. We are doing all it takes for our future in this county of Westchester. We expect him to give back to us. Thank you.
Thank you. Delia Kelly.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Delia Kelly, and I'm a working mom from Yonkers. When you cannot afford childcare, then you cannot work. And when you cannot work, your children, the government, the society in which you live, and your basic quality of life all become affected as a result. I am a single working mom with a bachelor's degree making $45,000 a year. Paying for rent in Westchester with transportation to my job in New York City on top of food and utilities, I cannot afford $1,000 a month in daycare, even with child support, without a constant struggle to make ends meet. But I'm lucky. I have a family that I can beg from every month to help me with my bills just so that I can continue working and not end up on a governmentally funded welfare program. Before funds were done away with, the Child Care Council of Westchester helped me receive $365 a month in assistance. While it may not seem like a lot, it helped me keep some cash in my wallet for groceries, little boys eat a lot, and other unexpected expenses that can put a person in debt. It helped me keep me sane and happy. I did not have to worry about who I was going to have to borrow from every month. And you know what they say, a happy mother equals a happy child. Child care in Westchester needs to be more affordable. The average cost per month is $1,000 or more. And if it cannot be reduced, then we need resources like the Child Care Council of Westchester to make daycare not just something available only to the privileged, but something available to all people who are honestly looking to continue with their career. Child care affordability and funding is essential in that it can build a society and the economy by making people more productive and happy because they will be able to continue working without constantly worrying about how they're going to pay for diapers, formula, food, and other basic necessities. Trust me, I was there, and it's all very disheartening. Daycare should not be something that puts stress in the minds and knots in the stomachs of expecting mothers or mothers with young babies. Many of my fully employed and married friends with careers in the television industry, like me, have expressed a concern as to how they can continue working when their child is born. These are good people trying to maintain their quality of life. But with the cost of daycare, especially in Manhattan and Westchester, sacrifices need to be made, even if that means abandoning your job and living off of one's salary. But sometimes one salary is not enough. The Child Care Council of Westchester can help these people, good individuals who are looking not just to continue building their careers, but also to pay the month's rent. Pediatricians say that the first 3 years of a child's life are the most crucial to their psychological development and their ability to become well-adjusted and confident human beings. These are also the years that they may attend daycare. If we can continue to provide resources to the parents that need child care assistance, then everybody wins. Our society will be one where children are raised with calm and happy parents, and the children will in turn grow into confident and happy adults. Thank you.
Thank you. Paul Feiner. Paul is the supervisor of the town of Greenberg.
Thank you very much. My name is Paul Feiner. I'm the Greenberg town supervisor. As I was driving here today, I was reflecting on the county policies. Westchester County right now is spending $1,000 an hour on an attorney who's dealing with the housing order. $1,000 an hour. And Westchester County, they're also spending $300 an hour. The county executive wants to spend $300 an hour, over $200,000 on a new law firm that's going to be dealing with the housing case. What's going to happen? We're going to be making the lawyers mega rich, but at the same time, we're making the lawyers rich. We have misplaced priorities because people who want to work won't be able to work because we're going to be cutting child care. I have a daughter who's 11 years old, and fortunately I have a job where I could make my own hours. If I hadn't had my job, and if my wife and I had typical jobs that were 9 to 5, we would not have been able to work without child care. This is a disgrace what the county executive is doing. It's misplaced priorities. And then when I think about it, what the county executive is really doing is shifting the problem. We're going to be able to, we're saying we're going to have a 0% tax increase this year, but what's going to happen? The people who want to work and need child care, they're going to be going on public assistance, and we're going to be having bigger problems and more serious problems later on. So it's going to cost the taxpayers of Westchester County more in the future. This is penny wise, it's pound foolish, it makes absolutely no sense. And I want to salute all the members of the county legislature for standing up and speaking out and fighting for child care. There's nothing more important in Westchester County than child care. Thank you.
Elizabeth Sanger.
Yeah, I'm Elizabeth Sanger. I'm a retired teacher. I live in the Mamaroneck Village. I just really realized about these cuts this week, and I was shocked because I have three quick things to say. In the first place, I think it's very dangerous if the county executive of all people follows very, you know, arbitrary and high-handed and what methods instead of following normal, appropriate legal procedures so that people can respect and understand what's going on. I think that's very dangerous for all of us. You know, we have to follow the laws. We have to follow procedures. That's fair. Second thing I want to say is it seems very dangerous to me to have a direct attack on the whole foundation of our society, which is the family and children, and a direct attack on especially the most vulnerable. You don't attack people who are least able to stand up for themselves when you make cuts. And the third thing I want to say is that, yes, the entire system of revenue for our county long-term needs to be redone. It's not a matter, caps are not the answer. We need to make the whole tax system more fair, less regressive, more fair to everyone, so that, you know, there wouldn't be this pressure to make these arbitrary decisions.
Thank you. Rhoda Lane. Rhoda Lane. Rhoda Lane. Okay. Lester Rodriguez.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. Thank you, everybody. Just a few quick facts. Since in my job I deal with facts, and all I've been hearing is that the important thing is to just look at the facts here. The fact, first of all, that's been addressed is that the county executive is not supposed to do this. That's why he shouldn't be doing this. That's very important that we speak out and try to get him back on the right track. Secondly, okay, it's the Board of Legislatures. You're supposed to, with him, make a decision as to what changes should be made, and that's not being followed. Okay. Thirdly, by doing all of these cuts, there is no question that it's going to impact our life and our society here in Westchester County and our children here. My wife operates a daycare in Mamaroneck. Okay, and some people may think, well, you know, what's been addressed before, that it's only certain communities that this is affecting. It's affecting every community. In Mamaroneck, it affects my wife's business. If these cuts have taken place, there are kids that will not be coming back because their parents are unable to afford the child care. So what do? They end up becoming public charges, which then, you know, comes off the books on one page, but then goes on the books on the other page. So, you know, we're being penny-wise and dollar-foolish. And it's very important that we keep these subsidies in place so that these people can work, they can contribute to society, these children can then grow, so that we don't have, as I said before, instead of having people that are incarcerated, we'll have people that are working. The jails will be less filled, we'll be spending less money there, and it'll all end up paying for itself, you know, when all is said and done. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ana Maria Rodriguez.
I'm an Amerindian. I'm a child care provider. I'm also a Title 20 provider. I was also a scholarship provider where we accepted the children with the scholarships. I also run a support group for child care providers. So I speak on behalf of all those child care providers, which a lot of them are here tonight, but a lot of them aren't because parents are late picking up their children and whatnot. The whole purpose is to keep them out of the system. If you take away the cuts, my staff that I have their children in my care, which are on subsidy. So now I lose the children, the mom loses her daycare, the mom now loses her job because she has to stay home, collect unemployment. So it trickles down, and it shouldn't. They're the youngest victims, and they can't speak, and we have to speak on behalf of them. So please don't make child care cuts.
Donna Morrison.
Good evening. Thank you, because I know we're preaching to the choir here. So thank you for all the hard work that you're doing. As probably you, most of the people here at the table know me as Donna Morrison, Early Childhood Director at the Guidance Center. However, I'm taking that hat off, and today I'm putting on my hat as Donna Morrison, parent of four grown children that live in Austin, New York. I live in Briarcliff, New York, and four grandchildren that attend Austin school districts. My son was one of the parents that, when he had his fourth child, had to quit his job and stay home because his increase of a couple of $100 of a salary made him ineligible for child care subsidies. So he's now home raising my two youngest grandchildren. And every day my four-year-old granddaughter says to me, Granny, when can I go to school? I'm here because one of the things that I've chosen to do with my life is speak for the children. And that's what I'm here today to do, to speak for the children. And she, just because she's my granddaughter, there's another story I want to share with you. I was in Walgreens in Tarrytown the other day, and this little girl was running up and down the aisles and singing her ABCs, and I, of course, said to her, how wonderful you know your ABCs. And she looked at me and she smiled, and I said, did you learn that in school? And she said, no. And I said, do you go to school? She said, no. I said, how old are you? She said, three. I said, where's your mommy? And her mom, she pointed, her mommy, of course, was hovering very close. And I said to the mother, why isn't she in school? And she said, because I can't afford childcare, so she stays at home with her grandma. And I've put her on the list now because she's going to be four for the pre-K program in Tarrytown, but it's an extremely tiny program, and they said to me that they'll put her on the waiting list but don't have any hope. And the little girl looked at me and she said, can you get me to school? So I'm speaking for the children. School, child care, consistent care for our infants, babies, and the tiniest ones. Westchester, don't do this. And as a taxpayer, I say shame on you. Shame on you.
Akia Shange. There are seats up front here. If you want to come and sit down, please do.
That's all right.
That's
me.
That's all right.
Good evening, and thank you for this. This is wonderful. Look at this turnout. This is real. Now, this is reality TV. My name is Akia Shange, and I stand here tonight in representation of the Westchester Black Women's Political Caucus, who are adamantly against the illegal cuts to the approved child care budget. As the Westchester Black Women's Political Caucus has a long and very proud history of pursuing causes supportive of socioeconomics and the advancement of black women, we find these illegal cuts ludicrous, irresponsible, and take serious note that they exemplify the county exec's total lack of regard for all the residents of Westchester County. Our caucus with five chapters in Westchester, Greenberg, Mount Vernon, New Rochelle, Peekskill, and Yonkers, represent black women in Westchester with a more than vested interest in the well-being of community, the future, and progression. We wholeheartedly consider these cuts as destabilizing and emasculating the very poor of the working parent, and we call on the county executive to reverse his illegal and inappropriate actions. We all know the statistics and the negative effects of these cuts, and the caucus goes on record here tonight and condemns the forcing and compelling working parents to choose between poor, unsafe, and inadequate child care or the unemployment line. The caucus condemns the disproportionately impact on working families and demands that the county executive reinstate the funds that were already approved and are part of this year's budget. Today is not the day to kick working families down a road full of more risk for their children in our communities. Today requires foresight for the county of Westchester. Today you should have insight into all the residents of Westchester as a county executive and know and realize that the investment of today assures a progressive future for the children and residents of Westchester. We are citizens of this unique county and cannot be compared to any other, and therefore we are first concerned with the children of this county. Mr. Astorino's comparison to the child care cost of New York City on News 12's Newsmakers program only further indicates his lack of regard for the residents of Westchester. The caucus and many wonder about the county executive's priorities. Why were these illegal budget cuts slashed, instituted in April, while a consolidation plan for the emergency services and public safety departments were just announced yesterday? The Westchester Black Women's Political Caucus urges the Astorino administration to reinstitute the child care funds as they were previously approved for the 2010 budget and restore peace of mind to working parents and residents throughout the very county you are supposed to represent. Mr. Astorino, who should raise the children? The TV, the streets, or the parents?
Thank you. Cindy, Bessie.
Good evening. I'd like to thank the Board of Legislators very much for trying to convince the county executive to follow the law. What a good idea. This county has a very big budget. A big budget. $1.5 million is less than a drop in this bucket. We're going to have, according to the county executive, flights on the Kensico Dam. Wonderful. Are we going to have kids on the street? We're going to have a beautiful walkway through Yonkers. Terrific. Are we going to have kids on the street? Please, please help him. Stop picking on kids.
Amen. Thank you. Tanya Salinas. Tania Salinas, Titania Mendiola, Titania Mendiola, oh, she's coming, She's coming.
Ooh.
My name is Tatiana, and I'm a single parent, and my child attends a licensed child care center while I work. I work as a babysitter, and it will be impossible for me to go to my job without child care. Please do not cap funding to daycare and children's services. I count on child care. Please restore funding for child care in Westchester. Thank you.
Kathy Hallis.
Oh, good evening, everybody. Kathy Hallis from the Child Care Council of Westchester, and I want to thank the legislators for holding this hearing, and I particularly want to thank everybody who's here tonight. Give yourselves a round of applause. I talk to you all the time, so I'll be brief. We believe in this country that education is the path to a good job, financial security, even happiness, and that children who are not born into advantaged families can aspire to great things by way of a great education. What we fail to understand is that education begins at birth and often in a childcare program. Despite an increasing body of research on the unique opportunities of earliest years, and growing evidence that the United States has fallen behind in the global race of the new knowledge economy, as a nation, we're not investing in children early enough. In the past few years, Westchester County has done more than most counties, some might say too much, but actually Westchester was ahead of what is becoming a national awakening. Across the country, the most vocal support for increasing investments in early childhood has come not from early childhood teachers or advocates or even parents, but from business leaders and economists. And their arguments are very simple. If we want to be a secure nation and a competitive economy on the world stage, we must increase our investments in the early years. That's where the smart money needs to be, and it will pay off for all of us. So Westchester County, continue to make thoughtful and substantial investments in young children and a strong and healthy future for our entire county. And I want to close by saying that I want to thank you for being such staunch champions on behalf of children.
Thank you.
And for continuing to shine a light on this really important issue. And I also want to say that over the past few years, we've done some wonderful things with childcare. And I can really see what we could have for all the kids in our county. We are this close. So I just pray that we will continue in that direction and that we will not go backwards. And I urge you to stay strong, as well as everybody here tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. LaGrease Brown.
I'm a child care provider of Westchester Avenue, Rochelle, and I've been taking care of children for 20 years. And I can remember, this is my own personal story, because I know you heard it from the others, so this is inside of a provider, what we go through. A lot of parents that I've had years ago had well good jobs. I have doctors, lawyers, I had NBC people from television, and they all bring their parents to me and they were full paying parents. Well, that has all dramatically changed. Now, 95% of my clients, and you can imagine each provider group has 12 children, so has 12 families. They're all on DSS, all of them. I have to constantly make phone calls and get letters and receive letters and facts because that's the way now my income is completely with Westchester County. I do extended hours that go beyond. I have a parent that works in Bloomingdale's on 59th Street. She gets off at 10 o'clock at night. These are extended hours. I am exhausted. I come here because I know I have to fight for what's right.
And I mean, I'm not going to come up here and speak professionally. I'm just telling you my story. And I even took a license. I do foster care. I'm an adopted parent. And I mean, my whole life has been educating children. And even my husband, he's a principal in New York City. And this is our life. Now, we already lost Title 20, retention programs, education programs for providers to get even more educated. How much more can you take from us? I pay high taxes. I have a big home in Westchester County. I pay my school taxes. I pay my city taxes, sewer, water. What am I paying that for if you take everything else from us? These parents need these jobs. When you lose, when these parents lose jobs, the provider loses jobs, the money goes down. Everything has a domino effect in life. The social skills for children will go down. Everything will go down to a flat level. You think they have on the news, oh, homes are being lost. Every day I turn on the news, all homes, foreclosures, foreclosures. Can you imagine? That'll even happen at a greater amount. Even in Westchester, it's so nice when I first came here, and now I feel so intense because everything is at a high level of financial. I mean, the trains, the parents have to ditch. The train fares are going up. They cannot afford to lose the child care. That is everything to them. Once they lose that, then they lose everything else, the jobs, everything, the schooling. They go to college at night. I have parents that work two jobs, go to college. That'll all be gone. So this will have an effect. Even if, can you imagine all the people that came here with all their children, if they all lost their jobs? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that, sir? Just think about it. Think about a national wide of people being on welfare, the line standing way back around the whole entire block. That's what would happen. I am so tired of this constantly happening. I've noticed within the past few months, cuts have been drastic, drastic, drastic on childcare only. That's what it feels like to me. Because my whole life is providing for child care. And even when parents lose some of their Title 20 and lose some of their income, I still cover those hours that they need for their job so they can fully successfully have financial income to pay their own bills. I take the weight sometimes. And that's what a provider will do. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Daisy.
Daisy. Daisy's right there.
Okay. Marie Diaz.
Good evening to everybody. My name is Maria Diaz. These are my kids, Vanity and Salvador, my providers, Child Care Center Moquisco. I do not prepare myself for this, but I say I have to go. And I'm going to make these people to listen to me and my kids. Few weeks ago, I went to the daycare to drop my kids, 7:30 in the morning, as usual every day. The lady said to me, Maria, we need to do something because they're going to cancel the child care program. My heart broke and a lot of little pieces because I do not have a mother in this country. I do not have a father. I do not have family. I have my husband. My husband doesn't have a mother. He passed away a few years ago. I do not have a place to leave my kids. Only with these people. And I trust these people. They educate my kids. They give love to my kids. My kids are in a secure place with good people. With people who provide them good education, they teach them, they make them a good kid. And they also prepare them for kindergarten. They go every day, Monday to Friday, so I can work. Because the cost of living is very expensive. We cannot afford to pay the child care. Without this program, I have to stay home and take care of my kids. And the money that my husband make a week is not enough to survive. I have to work. So I need this program to keep going. and I need the daycare to take care of my kids, because I don't want my kids with somebody who's gonna hurt them. I do not want to stay home and live from the public assistance. I want to work, and I think my kids deserve to be in a good place with good people. There is a lot of families like me here. We need the program. So we are a lot tonight, but we need more people. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Lakia Perkins.
Thanks for allowing me this opportunity to speak about my individual struggle, how I'll be affected if I don't get this funding. I'm recently a single parent. I was married. I didn't sign up for this. I preferred it on the other side, but things didn't work out. My daughter is 6 years old. She goes to Mount Vernon Daycare Center. I'm sorry, everybody, but the best daycare center in Westchester. These people have been in my life for a long time. They're family now. Because of them and the teachers there, my six-year-old learned to Dr. Martin Luther King's speech at age 3. And she recited in its entirety.
That's right.
You know, at age 3. So, you know. I don't have family here in New York. I'm from Maryland originally. So if I can't work, I'm really going to have to stay home with my kids. And I don't want that, because I'm trying to be something big for them, a role model. You know, and I'm trying to lead by example. And the only way I can do that is by being productive, getting up each and every day and showing them what real grown women to do, you know, should do. You know, so in order for me to really tell my kids this is what I want from you, I got to show them. And this funding, I'm telling you, I need it. I'm like at the borderline. They're telling me I make too much money. And I'm like, where? I mean, because I can hardly, you know, make ends meet. I can't buy food. I mean, it's rough. So please don't take this money from us. You know, kids like my daughter really need it. I mean, she will be up there with you guys one day, you know, helping as well. So helping us. We need it
greatly.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Jessica Alicia. Jessica Alicia.
She goes.
Did our cameraman leave from the newspaper?
Yeah, I'll stop these things.
My name is Jessica Alicea. I'm a single parent of two young children. Not only do my children attend the Grayson Child Care Center, but I also am a group head teacher. I depend on child care subsidies for my children to attend the daycare center, because the daycare center provides quality care for my children. The early years are the learning years, and the happiness I see on my daughter's face when I pick her up from daycare, it breaks my heart to know that Robert Acevedo is trying to take these subsidies away from us. A lot of families are going to suffer, including myself. I work full-time, I take care of my children, and just to see the faces of children's faces in my classroom when I come to work each day, the sadness that's going to fill their hearts if they know that they're not going to be able to attend the daycare center anymore. I would appreciate if Mr. Robert Acevedo would reconsider cutting the child care subsidies, because it's not only affecting me, but it's affecting the children. Thank you.
Rhoda Lane.
What?
Is Rhoda Lane here?
Skirting the edge, you're really looking.
Are you right, Miss Lane? Okay.
No? Are you Miss Lane? You're going to speak a lot.
Yeah. Did you you signed up to speak, Miss Lane?
No.
Okay. No? Okay. Mary Powell? Mary Powell? Is that you? Yeah, she's coming. Okay.
Hi, my name is Mary Powell. I have four boys. These four boys have three that go to daycare. But I'm just going to introduce that. When I was back then, I was thinking, and I said, I remember when I was in daycare. Now I'm some 40 of it. Mm-hmm. I know how it benefited me to be in daycare. I know that my mom didn't have the services, a lot of services that are offered now. We really had to really, really strive to get services when I was a little girl. Now, I know the benefit of my children going to daycare. I know that I learned how to tie my shoe. I know that I learned how to say my ABCs. I learned how to say, one, two, threes. And I was ahead of the game by the time I get to school. Now, you think about a child that's at home and their child and their mother is not able to teach them because you have other kids to take care of. There's a lot of stress on the family. You're going through a lot of agony each and every day just trying to get your children through a day. And, you know, and then rest yourself. And this is, I'm staying at home now. It still don't make it even less on us if we stay at home. So these child cuts are not benefiting us at all. So we don't want to go back. I don't want to do no public assistance. That's not me. I came away from that, and I'm standing here alone on my own with my kids, and I want to support my kids. I don't want you giving out government funding for me to take care of my kids and sit at home. I want to go out and work and give you something so that you can help me. So these cuts, how they're going to affect us and how it affects my family is very important. Because I refuse to put my family at home, my children, that they're not taught, because I'm too busy doing other things, trying to just get them through the day. Thinking about my car ad, thinking about my telephone, how to have a telephone, kids. Think about all the other expenses that I got that I'm not able to pay. Public assistance is not going to do it. Simple as that. It's not going to do it. Don't give you enough money. You're not going to be able. You're going to have to end up going back into the system. And then where do you go from there? I pulled my way out. I do not want to dig my way back in. So when the town execs want to do these cuts, he have to think about us parents. He have to think about the children. Because for every one household, I don't know, I've seen a lot of parents come on. Every household, the children outnumber the parents. So you think about it. The children is a majority. So we have to think along those lines when we are making cuts. We can make cuts where they're so important. It's not important to make cuts on our children. Let's find some other way. We're going to struggle that way, but this way is very important for me. And I know a lot of parents that would be out of their mind if they don't have child care. Thank you.
Elizabeth Block.
Oh, she's there.
Yeah. Hello, I'm Elizabeth Block. I'm a board member of the Austin Children's Center, and I live in Briarcliff Manor. I thank all of you for your support and for holding this meeting. I know how hard it is, has been for you the last year to try and somehow maintain the incredible progress that we've made over the years. I want to really restate what Kathy Hallis said. You know, I've been involved in child care now probably for 40 years or more. And over those years, I have watched daycare grow. I've watched it grow in quality. I've watched the standards improve. And I've watched the county come to understand that it wasn't just the 10% of the child population that were at poverty level that needed help, that parents who were making
200% of poverty level, which means $44,000 for a family of four, also needed some help in order to be able to afford daycare. And now, after all this time, I see us cutting back, pretending that all of a sudden there can't possibly be any new families that need help. That suddenly families that are making $44,000 can afford it, so let's just cut that, even though it's been put in the budget. And I just, all I can say is let's not go back. Mr. Estorino, I know you want to cut taxes, and I can certainly understand that, but let's not cut the incredible progress that we have made in this county for providing for children, because right now, I think it's 25% of the children, the young people in our county, are at 200% that $44,000 for a family of four. We have 25% of children in our county that are in that group, and that is a very large number. And if we can provide the early childhood experiences that will keep them from being a much, much greater expense to our community and to our state, then we're just going backwards. And I just really want to emphasize that we need to reinstate these cuts. We need to give the children back their subsidies. And we need to start providing the care where it is important, because early childhood is where we really, this is where we get to start. All the evidence, all the research shows how important childhood education is. So thank you very much.
Segundo La La Saca. I think Daisy. Okay.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to express my feelings. I have 2 daughters. When my first daughter born, I used to live in my cousin and my uncle's mom, and my daughter was different girl than now. As for that, I want to say first thank you to the teachers of Port Chester Head Start for changing my daughter. Mm-hmm. When my daughter used to live, I used to live anywhere because I have to work and my wife has to work. And she thinks she's alone, she has the toys, everything for herself. Then they can come to our life and she changed completely. When she arrived home, she told me what she does, and they care. What friend she has, everything. And I see the smile in his face. Before, I used to drop off crying and pick her up crying. Now I have my second daughter, and I want she also keep in that way. Because my daughters and all the kids, for me, is everything. Because they can be the future of our town, of this county, right now, this country. One time, my wife stopped to work for taking care of my daughters. And I asked her in the afternoon, what do you need? And she said, watch TV. And I said, no way. You have to come back to work because we have to take care of this county up, because we know the economy is bad. And the only way, I think, to bring up the economy is working everybody together. Mm-hmm. If you can help us, I'm able to do anything else where the child I know in the medium. Because I don't want crying my life, but I'm here now, here in the face of them. I maybe do a few. I have to leave my 2 daughters alone home with somebody else. Thank you, and I hope we have good news for you.
To you as an early childhood professional
early childhood education is a social good. It belongs to all children. Every single child benefits from early childhood regardless of the economic status of their parents. Losing subsidy, are the children who receive subsidies are our most vulnerable of our population. Unfortunately, our children don't vote. And so that is why I am here to speak for the children. As an early childhood director, when I hold a young baby in my hand, I often wonder if it's this child who will sign my Social Security check, or if it's this child that will decide if I have Social Security. Early childhood education provides for the social and emotional stability of our young children. We do not simply babysit. And let's get it straight. Early childhood care is education. Child care is education. Please spread the word. Child care is education. We are educating children, and education starts at birth. The 0 to 3 group is often ignored. It is the most important time. The children are learning. Please, it's the future of our next generation. We here will all get old. Our future will be in their hands, whether we believe it or not. They will decide the quality of the nursing home many of us Our next president could be right here in Westchester County in our child care program. Our next government officials, the new inventions in early childhood, we allow children to explore and learn and develop their minds. So they are the ones who are going to invent new things. We have cell phones now. 30 years ago, we didn't have them. It's the mind. We're developing minds and we're growing up minds. Please, please, please secure the future of the next generation and not destroy it. Thank you.
Dejani Manning.
Hi.
Yeah.
I'm Dejani Manning. I have one child in child care in Auburn, Napier. And child care just basically went up out of nowhere. That caught me totally off guard. It's killing my pockets. And I can't imagine if they actually cut child care completely, because it would just be a wreck. My 2-year-old, he's so smart. He's so advanced. It's just because of child care. Today, he actually had like the chance to ride a horsey at his school. He looked forward to that the whole week. I didn't even know he was telling the truth until I actually seen horses. And if they cut child care, I can't provide a horsey. So, I mean, please just like help us with something, because we really need child care. Thank you.
Thank you.
Laura Lewis, Iris Levine,
Hi, my name is Iris Levine, and I'd like to thank all of you for the opportunity of holding this hearing and allowing us to speak. I'm a couple of years past having children in daycare, but basically it was a wonderful opportunity for me. And to hear that the county executive wants to cut subsidies so that people will be denied this opportunity, to me, is appalling. I have been an educator for many, many years. I knew the benefits of early childhood education, and I saw it with my own children. When my husband and I moved to Westchester County in 1984,
We both worked. We knew we had to continue to work living in Westchester County. My son was 8 at the time, and my daughter was 3 and a half. We had to be at work by 8 o'clock in the morning, and our hours at the end of the day, our days never quite ended at the same time. We had the Ossining Children's Center, and this was truly a gift to us. We were able to drop our children off at the Ossining Children's Center by 7 o'clock in the morning, and we could pick them up late if we had to stay late at our jobs. Without the Ossining Children's Center, we could not have continued, we could not have worked, we could not have afforded to live in Westchester County. We had great opportunities, and my children had great opportunities and went on to do well, and I owe a lot of it to what they had, the socialization and the early learning that they had at the Ossining Children's Center. And I'm asking you, Mr. Astorino, please don't take the opportunity that my children had away from other children. Thank you.
Adina Friedman. Adina Freeman. Belinda Alivar. I'm sorry, Belinda Avila.
Yes. Hi, my name is Belinda Avila, and I have 2 children. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. I have 2 children attending Port Jesser Head Start, and this is my son, Victor.
Hey.
Hi, Victor.
He's a product of what this program has done for me. I'm a single mom, and I get help through the Title 20 program. I don't get child support, I don't get alimony, I don't get anything, but I support my family on my own. And if I lose this help, I'm gonna have to take all my children out of daycare. And I'm gonna have to leave them with other people to take care of my children. They're not gonna get the same education they get in this program. My son was risking going into special ed because he had a speech delay. And through the daycare, they pointed out to me, let's get him into early intervention. We did, and he's ready for kindergarten. And right. September he's going to be going into kindergarten. And now I have a 2-year-old daughter in the program, and she was born with a brain defect. And so she has CC, an occupational therapist, a speech therapist, and a physical therapist. And through the daycare and their caretakers, they're helping me get her ready. So 3 more years, she'll be in kindergarten, too. She'll be ready for it. I'm thankful for all the help that the daycare has given to me. Thank you.
That is here today to take away the funds for daycare will be tragic. And a few of the reasons I say this is because I'm a sincere believer that the earlier you begin to develop your children, the better chance you have of having a successful children tomorrow. And these children that we are fighting now for are our future for tomorrow. And one thing that we do not need is children that are insecure and are unlearned. The daycare center helps us develop this. Now, truly, okay, I have 4 foster children, kinship foster children. I have a host of nieces and nephews that are daycare age children that are in daycare centers and what have you. Also, the whole community and everything. Children today, we are losing our children today because they're growing up and they're feeling that they're insecure, they're uneducated. We need the daycare to help
parents stay working. We need the daycare to educate our children, help the parents to be able to go on back, go to work, go to school, and develop themselves so that they'll be able to help their children later on in life. And not only help their children, but to help themselves. I'm a little nervous up here today, but this is something I'm not used to doing. But
I
know the importance of the daycare center. I know how important it is for me that I will be able to get out the house during the day to work, to do the things that I want to do during the day and what have you. And my four-year foster child is an example. He's a hyper child and what have you. If I had this child, if I was staying at home and if I had to take care of this child by myself, let's say, you know, all day long and everything, and forget about, you know, working and what have you, I don't think I would be able to do this. Not as successful as I am with their help and with their input and what have you during the day and everything. Because it gives me a chance at nighttime, number one, I take from them and I'm able to input more things because my children are grown now. You know, this is starting all over again for me, you know, and what have you. But these children need this. So therefore, like, I'm able to grow from them. They give me ideas to work with and everything. And this child, you know, like, he's growing, he's hyper and what have you. You know, he have, you know, certain little problems and stuff that this year. But they're manageable problems and what have you. And it helps me to open my horizon and what have you, to be able to give a strong input with him and helping him toward in his development and what have you. Child care is needed today. It is a hand, it takes the weight up off of parents. It takes a financial big responsibility off of them, and we're able to give our children what other children that do not have these financial barriers, give our children the same type of help that they need and what have you. So please, I beg you, do not take away the daycare from us. We need this. And especially people that, the low-income people, we need it. So please do not take it away. Please reconsider this. Okay?
Dawn Mayorsky, I'm sorry.
Hi, I'm from Mount Kisco Child Care Center, and I am the program director there. And I have the distinct privilege of working with all of these families every single day. All their heartfelt stories live in my office. It's where it all begins. I remember a few years back we had a drought, and we had kids who were playing under the sprinkler, and during the drought, if you were an odd number, you could only use the water on an odd day. Well, it was the 15th of the month, and we were on 300 Main Street, and the public safety guy came up and said, "You got to turn the water off." And I said to him, "You tell them." And he said, "That's not my job." Mr. Astorino, where are you tonight? Why aren't you looking in the eyes of all of these people? On the ninth floor and make these sweeping decisions when you don't have to look into the eyes of the people that you are affecting. And I'm going to tell you that all of them are hardworking, dedicated people. They're paying, even with their parents' share, they're paying 20% of their income for childcare. They're not asking for handouts. They're only asking for the minimum to get them through what they have to pay so that they can work and focus on their jobs and not worry about whether their child is sitting in somebody's car while another one is at the dentist. And I have seen that happen in unregulated programs. So please, I beg you to reconsider. I beg you to come and spend the day sitting in my office and looking at these people and telling them why they're not eligible anymore. Thank you.
Julia Seguia.
Good afternoon, everybody. I come in for I have two child and care for children. I'm single mother.
I'm not okay with your cards and the Medicare program because I'm working very hard for help to child. I'm single mother. I come and plead for cards in the program. That's very, very because me. I go when I go for working. I'm go okay because in the Medicare is. I'm thinking is that the school,
Daisy?
My child is okay. It's not in the sorry. My cabinet is okay.
I'm a single mother. I really need a daycare. We are in a crisis time. I really need childcare because that's the only way that I can work. I am happy with my children out in the daycare. That's the reason why I'm here, because I want to ask you, please do not cut the program.
Okay. Come on.
Thank you.
Okay.
We have one last speaker. Shelby Boyd. Yeah. Shelby Boyd.
Is that you?
Yeah. Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I wasn't prepared to talk tonight.
Wait a second.
What? I had just put this together a minute ago, and I basically wanted to say, what's next? What part of child care are they going to get next? I had my first child at 16 and have been a young, working parent ever since. And I can say that my daycare provider, Whitney Machine Jackson, has been there for me every step of the way. And I mean through you know where and back. She has been my child care provider for 10 years. After having my second child, I wouldn't go back to work until there was a space for my son at Wendy's establishment. My daughter, who's here with me tonight, she's 10 years old and started Wendy's at 6 months. She's a straight-A honor student.
There you go. And shy.
Yeah, right.
The Mount Vernon School District and has made second place 2 times in a row in the district spelling bee. So basically, my point is, thanks to child care subsidy, I was able to put my child and an establishment that nurtured her early development and contributed to her later accomplishments. So all I ask is that my son have the same chance. So please, please, no more cuts.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here this evening who wants to speak and hasn't had an opportunity? Anyone who didn't sign up? You want to come forward? Come. Yeah.
Good evening. My name is Isabel. I'm a single mother. She is 5. And I'm here to ask for help, to give you help. I'm not asking for paying my rent, to pay my bills. I'm just for a little support for her. If you raise me a little more, I'll be fine to keep him to pay. I work extra hours. She's with the godmother 3 days a week, so I can work 8 to 8:30. I work 8 to 4, 3 days a week, 8 to 8:30. She's with the godmother after 4 o'clock when she finish. I work extra because I don't want to be a government daughter. Okay, I'm not Obama's daughter. I want to survive by myself. just want a little tiny help for her. She's so smart, and she's going to go to kindergarten in September.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I would appreciate your help. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Hi, good evening. My name is Christine Jacoby. I'm a child care provider for St. Matthew's Daycare. It's a Head Start program. I want to begin by saying that our family is a product of Head Start. My sister and I both went to college. I have my master's in teaching English as a second language. And I've learned a lot about how the world works. And I just want to say that everything has been said tonight. We are the taxpayers. This is our money. So if you're representing the taxpayers, you should represent us and our children. Children are not a commodity. They're not for sale. We shouldn't be using children to bargain. This is going to mean more job losses for Westchester. If they cut the number of kids in our center, I'm going to be without a job. I'm going to have to join unemployment. The kitchen staff might be without a job. The bus driver might be without a job. I think this needs more consideration. I mean, down the road, the Revolutionary War was fought, and we have to really ask ourselves where our beliefs lie. Or what would Obama say if he were here tonight? I mean, this whole health care crisis came about because everyone started losing their health care. So I wonder what's going to happen when everyone loses their child care. And we will be back. Even if this goes through, we will not give up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Without child care services, I will not be able to work and provide him as well as myself with health care. I probably won't be able to continue with any services that we get now. Child care services has helped me put my son and keep my son in daycare. He's 2 years old now, and he counts to 40. He speaks a lot of words, ABCs, and everything he knows comes from Miss Wendy Nasheed, who has helped me teach my son a lot of things even at home. I need him to stay in daycare so he can be provided with a better future for elementary school, which is becoming very competitive with state testing as well as other things. He needs to have this daycare so that I can work and become a better person for him, because I will be going to school in September. I'm 22 years old, and I would like to become an educator or a nurse so I can provide a better future for my son. Things like this and parents like me need child care services. Thank you.
You got a fan club, eh?
Apparently. I apologize in advance for the impromptu speech. I'm not the best public speaker, so I'll be wedded to this. Hello, my name is Peter Hahn, and I am a daycare assistant for the Austining Children's Center. And I'm here tonight to speak up for those who cannot, the many children of Westchester. And while I may not be no parent, I can still certainly tell the difference between a blank stare at a television screen and the bright smiles and laughter that come from children interacting with other children. And what we need during these rough times are not childcare cups, are not blank stares. We need more smiles. We need more laughter, and most of all, we need our future, the children. Thank you.
My name is Jessica, and I come before you with many roles. I come before you as a parent, I come before you as a student, and also as a person that works in a daycare center. I'm currently trying to finish my master's, hopefully by next May. However, these cuts that you're proposing have a huge influence on that. although my husband and myself may not apply for too many services, this childcare service is what we can do. And it's not that I want to put them in lists, but it's one of the most important things that I can receive. By having my four-year-old in daycare, or all the children that we serve in our daycare center, it's important. You see, there's laughter, as Peter was saying. You see their improvement in school with the after-school assistance that we provide our parents. And as a working person in a daycare center, you also see the smiles, the tears of the parents that come to us. I'm a single mom. Or just plain old, I'm struggling right now. I need help for a bit. You know, in the long run, by helping these families, by helping parents such as myself, you get a better future, not only for the adults, but the children that are coming. You, by providing a daycare, a safe place, a better place, a licensed place, you have more assurance of what our teenagers, what our grown-ups will be in about 15, 20 years. They will be better people with your help. I know it's a lot to consider with all the cuts that are being proposed, but please do consider the future of this county. It's a wonderful county, and by having the funding for these children, it will continue to be a better county in the future. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who hasn't had an opportunity who would like to speak? All right, we're going to wind up our session of... Oh, I'm sorry. All right.
Hi, my name is Jill. This is my granddaughter, Joelle.
Hi, Jill.
And she goes to the Mount Vernon Daycare. And she is just so smart and so bright because of the Mount Vernon Daycare. Not just with my daughter's help and mine, but she's going to be a bright kid. My daughter also went to the Colin Allen Daycare in Mount Vernon. So I know what the impact is going to be if these cuts continue. I just hope and pray that they don't, because my daughter is a great person. She turned out to be a good person. I'm not too bad myself. And I just want to say for my granddaughter. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure. I was at a meeting with all the directors yesterday, and I'm going to not do this the justice that it deserves, and I can't get Howard to come and talk with me about it. But the other thing you need to think about is, when all of these centers start to close down because they don't have enough enrollment anymore, it is going to impact so many other industries. Ellen Farrar, who runs Westcott, was talking just about her milk bill, which is almost $1 million for milk. You know, my little center, I've got 160 families in my center, our food budget is close to $200,000 a year. Think about the impact it's going to have on all of the agencies who serve us as well. You know, it's not just about all these families, because the ripple effect is, it's going to touch everybody. It's going to touch the papers. You know how much construction paper I buy? So this is an important thing, not to be, I'm saying it with a smile on my face, but it is a hard fact, it is a reality that you are going to impact all of the industries that serve all of these programs as well.
All right, thank you. Is there someone else that would like to speak? Are you coming to the microphone or just walking down the aisle? Well, we certainly want to recognize that we were joined by our majority leader, Tom Abinanti. Tom, you wanted to say a few words. So,
do you want to just ask Ellen if she wants to say something?
I'm sorry.
That is Ellen.
I know I saw it was Ellen, and I saw Ellen come in and said, did she want to say anything? Hello, Ellen. Would you like to speak? Or?
I would probably be repetitive, I'm sure.
That's okay.
It's okay. You're allowed to be, right? Come on down, Ellen, and thank you.
They want me to tell you what I told them yesterday, which is that we serve, I don't know if you're aware of it, almost 2,000 children, and all of our children are low income, and a great deal of what we do is feed children. We buy our food in this community. What we spend on milk, I mean, if you really think about it, if we take away our child care services, which would be devastating to our families who are working. But your milkmen are going to be laying off people. Your food providers are going to be laying off people. We spend $1.1 million on food to feed our children.
Wow.
And that should be a first priority in this county, and I know that I am talking to the people who are converted. But I think the entire county needs to hear that it's really important that our children, our future, are taken care of in this county. So I hope everybody who makes decisions listens. Listen, I had to be at another meeting, but I would like everybody here who knows that it's so important that our most important resource, our children, are taken care of. And this is a county that has always cared and prioritized children. So please, whoever listens, continue doing that. Thank you.
Thank you for your advocacy. Mr. Leader.
Thank you for letting me have an opportunity to greet everyone. After the last speaker, I don't have anything left to say. She said exactly what I was going to say. But I just want to thank everyone for coming out and personalizing what we all knew when we passed this budget last December. We knew how important child care was. And we made sure we left money in the budget, even though we cut $20 million out of the proposed budget. But we left child care monies in because we knew how important it was to the children of our county, to the parents in our county, and to our community in general. As the last speaker just said, children are our most precious resource. They are our future. We don't have universal pre-K. This is the best we can do until we get universal pre-K. This is helping those kids who otherwise, as another speaker said, would be sitting in front of a TV. We originally put in these programs because we knew about parents who thought they were doing the right things for their kids, but were putting them actually in unsafe places. They thought those apartments where someone was taking care of 3 and 4 kids were safe, but we knew better. Unregulated, with people who weren't trained to deal with kids, those were not good places for kids. So we came up with these programs. Some of our legislators, particularly the legislator sitting right next to me, responded. And so we all responded with them. And we said it's important that we have good quality child care so that kids can be ready to go to school. It's also important for the parents. We've heard you say tonight over and over again how these programs help you support yourself so that you can make a better future for yourself and for your children and for your family. And lastly, it is important for our community that we have these types of programs. We are a caring community, and we've got to care for the entire population. We need the educated children, the kids ready to go to school. We need the jobs. We need the whole community center. Let's face it, in our society, the educational system is so much a part of our community. And it's good to start younger. These daycare centers become community centers for people. They get to meet other people in their neighborhood. The kids get to see other kids. So this is important for the kids. It's important for the parents. It's important for our whole community. So thank you all for coming in and putting a face on what we knew to be the case.
You see the honorable.
Before we leave tonight, I have two people that need to say a few words. One of them is a very special person to me, Lois Bronz, former county legislator.
Chair of the board.
Chair of the board. Please come forward, Lois.
Thank you, Frieda.
You're welcome.
And thank you, colleagues. I came this evening after a very busy evening. I apologize for my timing. But I know that you know why I'm here. I know that you've heard from parents, you've heard from some of our providers. You've heard from all of us again and again. I'd like for you to tell us what more can we do to change the climate. We understand that efforts have been made in writing, in person, over and over again. But we haven't yet found that there is a solution. We keep hearing about the problem. We keep hearing that the decisions are based on dollars and not on lives. We keep hearing that someone, or many people, you people, are unaware that our investment in our children and young families is the best that we can do with our dollars. So let's see if we can put all of us together and come out of it with an understanding that every time we move a child out of quality, affordable child care, you are making a case for having that young person go to the ends of the earth without our support. I just want to tell you a story that some of you have heard before. A young boy was placed at Children's Village many years ago. And during his stay, he got into a disagreement with another child. His mother took him out of Children's Village after a few days, thinking that this is not going to solve his problem. This is what I have to do. And she thought she could do it alone. That young man, we all learned, was the assassinator of John Kennedy. If that mother and that child care program had been allowed to do his work, history would have been different. What we invest in our children is important. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lois. Alan Farrar, would you like to say something?
She did.
Oh, you did? Oh, I'm sorry, I missed it.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
Okay. Does anyone else want to or need to speak right now? All right. I want to thank all of you tonight for making the effort to come out. I know with children and jobs and all of that entails, it's not easy to come out on a weekday night and spend a couple of hours listening to a lot of people talk and trying to get a message across. But it was a very special evening for me. It was a learning situation. I know exactly what many of you have gone through because I went through part of it myself many years ago. But again, I want to thank you for coming out. Thank you for making the sacrifice and let you know that it does not end here. We're going to keep the fight up as long as we can until we get the results that we need and that our children need. I want to thank also the members of the committee for coming out and Tom Abernathy for coming as well. And I also would like to thank very much all the members of the staff of the Board of Legislators.
Who are volunteering, by the way.
They volunteered their time. They devoted many hours to this, and they're here tonight on their own time to make sure that this was a success. So thank you, ladies. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very, very much. We need you to speak up and speak out. As I said, this does not end it, and we need you to make a call to the county executive. The number is 995-2911. Let him know what happened here tonight. Let him know how you feel about the child care cuts, and send a message. Spread the word to your family, your neighbors, your friends. Let them know that they can make the call, too. If they can't make a call, maybe they can fax. The number is 995-3113. There's also an email address, rpa1@westchestergov.com. So all of these, or you can mail it, regular snail mail, 148 Martin Avenue, 9th floor, West, White Plains, 10601. This information is on the flyer that many of you received when you signed in tonight. But make your voices heard. This will go a long way, what happened here tonight. But we need to keep up the effort. So make the telephone calls, send the emails, write the letters, fax them, do whatever it needs doing. again, thank you very much for coming out. Have a good evening and safe home.
Judy, what's that? I was thinking about that. Judy, Tom, you want to sign in? Yep.